I would like to make one announcement. We will be recording live today. So if everyone, the microphones are very sensitive. So if everyone will limit their access of moving around, because this mic picks up everything, every sound. So if children become noisy, please, you know, exit the room with them if you don't mind. Because other people need to hear someone as well. Okay, with that, it is time to begin services and ask Mr. Philip Berman to come forward for the opening prayer.
Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day within the Feast of Tabernacles. Father, we're so grateful for the messages, the inspiring messages we've had so far, and we eagerly look forward to what we're going to receive today and the rest of the feast. And right now, Father, we put this service in your hands, asking that we drink in the words that you have for us, particularly today. And we say this prayer through your holy and righteous Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, it's wonderful to be here today at the Feast of Tabernacles in Scotland. We have enjoyed our visit here immensely. We had the privilege of going over to Edinburgh to see the Stone of Destiny. And that's a very appropriate name. And I'm not sure that as a matter of fact, I know they don't. The people don't know the significance of the stone that's there and what it represents, because it does represent a new king that is coming to this earth. But with presence of mind, they have put the stone in with the crown jewels, which I found very interesting, because there is a new king coming to this earth. It's not long before Jesus Christ will be here to take over that throne that stone represents. So I found this very enlightening and very inspiring trip to Scotland. And I want to thank our host for a very gracious visit here. And with that, we'll get right on into the sermon. As I was saying about the king that is coming, our minds cannot comprehend what is about to take place upon this earth. We are living at a time when some awesome events are about to take place. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth. And you and I, as the Church of God, PKG, are to be preparing now more than ever. The sermon today will be about the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And the title today will be The Establishment of the Government of God. And that's what it's about, brethren, the government of God. And the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. To establish that government so that men can finally learn the true way of peace. We've heard a lot about peace in former sermons, about Jerusalem, the city of peace, and that's what it's about. It's about building this city that the great God of this universe and his Son Jesus Christ is about to begin to bring to this earth. The city of peace, the new Jerusalem. And there's an order of events that must take place upon this earth. Be turning to Revelation 11. Revelation 11, and we will look at the transition of events that must take place. We will look at, just before the return of Jesus Christ, what will take place. We will also look at events about his return. We'll also look at some of the events, as time permits, after his return, and how that will affect the city of peace that Jesus Christ is coming to establish upon this earth. It will take the government of God, ruled over by the kingdom of God to establish this peace. It will give mankind for the first time in man's history the correct way to live. God's way. And it's the only way that peace can come about. It's only God that can produce peace. And there's no other way under the sun. And it is only God that can bring about the city of peace. But before peace can come, there is an awesome event that must take place. And God is sent to, at the end of this age, to prepare a people. So look around, brother, at what is taking place. God is preparing a people, some to be a part of the 144,000, to be a part of that kingdom that is coming to this earth. And some to live on into and establish the city of peace, the beginning. So, brethren, fasten your seat belts. You have a front row seat to the most awesome events that are in your future. I don't know how much you understand what you have been offered to live at this time in history, to live at the end of an age, to see the awesome events unfold before your very eyes. Most of you in this room will live to see this. And you will look in the sky and see Jesus Christ as he makes his return to this earth. It's an awesome privilege that you've been offered. Not everyone will be able to see this event as you are. There is an order of events that must take place. And you live at the most awesome time in man's history. Revelation 11 and verse 7. It's 3.5 days before the return of Jesus Christ. And this is where we will start. We will see how the beginning of the establishment of the government of God will come about. Revelation 11 and verse 7. And it's talking about the witnesses. And it's in Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem, that these events take place. And we can see by the context that it is where Jesus Christ was crucified that this event will take place. In verse 7, we find that they finished their testimony. And the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them. Talking about the two witnesses. And it's the beast's power at the end that will bring this about and bring them to their death. Verse 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. And let's notice, where also our Lord was crucified. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And it's where they killed him also, brethren. And it's where these last events will take place. And it is God that will bring it about. It's not by the power of men. It's that God allows it. And it's part of his plan to bring the city of peace to this earth. And it's a transition in time. There will be a lot of death in our future. You will see a lot of death before this transition takes place. So we have to have a different view of death, those that are part of the Church of God. Verse 9, then those from the people, tribe, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies. 3.5 days, and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. So we find they will not allow them to be buried. And that also fits into God's plan. It's part of the process. And you're being told before it happens. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. They didn't like the message that was being brought. It's an age-old story. It's ironic that man always resists the truth. And there's a being that has a lot to do with this. And we've heard that in the sermons, the previous sermons, about Satan and the demons and how they have dwelt with mankind and their influences. And his judgment is coming also, Satan's judgment, in the near future, and he knows it. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God will enter them. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, death. And the rest were afraid. It's death that gets man's attention. Let's notice. They gave glory to the God of heaven. So God has their attention. And there is a lot of death in our future. And there will be some great fear upon this earth before this transition takes place. We will look at some of the events that must take place as the kingdom of God is coming to this earth to establish the government of God. Let's turn to Revelation 14. It's just over a page or so. Revelation 14 and verse 1. And we will look at the very next event that takes place. Those that have been around for a while understand that when the witnesses are resurrected at the end of the 3.5 days, there's also another group that will be resurrected. Revelation 14 and verse 1. I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpies playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000. And this last part explains who they are, who were redeemed from the earth. It's the resurrection of those who will be in the first resurrection to be a part of the kingdom of God upon this earth, to establish the government of God upon this earth. It's a wonderful time for mankind. Verse 4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. And we understand, as the Church of God, what this is talking about. It's talking about the religions of this world. For they are virgins. In other words, they have been cleansed, and they are clean before God. It's why God says it this way. They were a part of the Church of God, and that is why they are called virgins. They were not partakers of the religions of this earth. God called them out, gave them his spirit, cleaned them for a purpose. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Talking about Jesus Christ. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And let's notice. So we can see that they are the first. Those that will be in the first resurrection. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And it's at this point that they have become spirit beings. And they are in the family of God as a spirit being to establish the government of God upon this earth. Let's look at Revelation 15. Revelation 15 and verse 1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. Just notice the time frame. Seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, you King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you only are holy. And let's notice, it's the time when a transition will take place. And it is that time when the establishment of the government of God is upon this earth, as we read the last part. For all nations shall come and worship before you. It is the time when all the nations will begin to come and worship the true God. And after that I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. This is a wonderful time upon this earth with the establishment of the government of God upon this earth to start to build the city of peace for all of mankind. So man can really understand and experience a time of peace for 1,000 years. God's time, brother. And it's that time. And it is the time when all the nations will begin to come before the great God of this universe and learn about true worship. The true God. The real God. Matthew 24 and verse 29. In the church of God, we've read Matthew 24 over and over and over for many, many years. And Matthew 24 is a very enlightening chapter in the book of God. In verse 29, we find, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. There's a spirit world that has been at work for 6,000 years on this earth. God has allowed it, but their time is over. It's what this is talking about. Their time is coming to an end, and they will fall. And it's the time for the nations to come before God and learn true worship. These spirit beings have been allowed to influence man will be removed. This is pictured by the Day of Atonement, as we heard. The removal of Satan and the powers that have been at work, they will be brought down. So notice verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He is coming to remove the powers that be, brethren, and establish the kingdom of God upon this earth. And set up the government of God so men can learn the true way of worship and learn the truth of the matter for the first time. It is their time. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. It's an awesome time. And most sitting in this room will see this event. It's an awesome sight that you will be privileged to see. To see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So you will see some awesome sights. Those who live into the millennium and those who are changed at the return of Jesus Christ. It's just what we read about in Revelation 14. And he will gather the 144,000 at this time, at this coming, to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth and to establish the government of God on this earth. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, when you see all these things, know it is near, even at the doors. We can look around on the horizon and see the conditions that exist in this world, in the nations, in Scotland, in the U.S., Australia, all of them. We know that it won't take much to bring it all down. It's like a house of cards, ready to fall. And we can look around and see that it is ripe for the return of Jesus Christ. And it's like looking at the fig tree. And we know the time is near, May 27th, 2012. Turn over to Amos 3. Amos 3. Right after Joel, the son. And we'll start in verse 7 of Amos 3. We know that there are two that have been sent at the end of this age to bring about some events just before the return of Jesus Christ. And in Amos 3 and verse 7, God tells us, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So we can see that there is a way that God works at the end of an age, just before the government of God is set up upon this earth. And we understand as the church of God why God says it this way in his book. Because it is a secret to the rest of the world, but not to the church of God. So we understand why God says it this way. Verse 8. A lion has roared. It's very true. We know the lion of the tribe of Judah will return. We know when his feet will touch down on this earth. You and I are privileged to live at the end of an age. And to have a front row seat to the most awesome events that will ever take place upon this earth. Amos 3 and verse 14. Satan has been allowed to deceive mankind for 6,000 years through the religions of this world. There is an awesome time coming, and verse 14 tells us about an event that will remove the religions of this world. In the latter part of verse 14, we find, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel. What this is saying to you and I is the church of God, those who have the Spirit of God, that God has revealed what his book really means through his ministers and prophets, those whom he is working. He reveals that the altars of Bethel will be destroyed. It's talking about the religions of this world. And they will be removed at the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it tells us the last part the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Utter destruction, brother. And I so long to see this day. But mankind will not be deceived anymore, and we don't have long to wait. May the 27th, 2012. And the horns of the altars of Bethel will fall to the ground. We will be like Gideon's army all over again, cutting all the horns of the altars that exist on this earth and watching them fall to the ground. It will be a wonderful time. The deception will be done away with. Let's turn over to Daniel 2. Daniel 2, and let's look at verse 28. And it says, verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. It's God who does it. And we just read that God reveals secrets to his prophets. And we have too at the end of an age that God is working with mightily to explain to the church of God what is taking place. And just as Daniel had made known to Nebuchadnezzar what was his fate, God has made known to you and I, the church of God, what is the fate of this world and the fate of Satan and the demons. And he has made known to us some of the events to take place and let us know where we are in time. God says that he reveals his secrets to his prophets, and they reveal it to the church of God. Let's look at verse 32. Most of us are familiar with the great image that was shown to Nebuchadnezzar, which had a head of gold. And it describes the image until it gets to the 10 toes, as we will see. And he was describing to Nebuchadnezzar who he was in the space of time that he lived. And this image of his head was of fine gold. And in the last part of verse 38, we find where Daniel told him that he was this head of gold in the space of time that he lived. Daniel describes the image and what it meant. Daniel 2 and verse 39. After you shall arise another kingdom. And it's telling us the transitions in time and the kingdoms that would exist through time. Inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, is where we are in time, brother. The kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it. Just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. So it's a union that comes together at the end. And it will be a fragile kingdom that goes together. And they will do what they have to do because of necessity. Verse 43. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. We see they really don't agree. But they come together to do a job. One last time. And let's notice verse 44. And in the days of these kings, let's notice, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The establishment of the government of God upon this earth, brethren. The kingdom of God is what it pictures. And it has come to this earth. It's a picture. A picture in time. Verse 45. Inasmuch as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. This picture's a stone dashing all the nations to pieces, the kingdoms of this earth, and taking over all the kingdoms of this earth, and setting up the kingdom of God upon this earth to establish the government of God upon this earth. And that establishes the beginning of the city of peace, Jerusalem, city of peace. And it will be built. God says so. And it is that transition in time most in the church of God will be able to see. Do you understand what you've been offered? To see that city of peace begin upon this earth. To see the kingdom of God set up upon this earth. To see Jesus Christ returning in the clouds. And you don't have long to wait. The great God of this universe is preparing a people for these events. To live on into a new age. To begin building the city of peace upon this earth. Some to come as the kingdom of God to be a part to establish the government of God. And some to live on into the millennium to be a part of the beginning of the city of peace. You have a front row seat to see these events if you hold fast. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Verse 15. The heading in my Bible says one kingdom, one king. And in verse 15, Ezekiel 37. Again, the word of the Eternal came to me saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. What we are beginning to see from these scriptures is a transition in time into the city of peace, the beginning. Verse 17. Then join them one to another for yourself in one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. Let's notice. And they will be one in my hand, God's hand. Sometimes we just read through this, brother. And they will be one in my hand, God's hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before your eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. He is starting to bring them into the city of peace. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be over them. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things. Remember the horns of the altar of Bethel. They will be destroyed. It's a wonderful time upon this earth when all the religions will be done away with. And there will be one religion upon this earth. God says, I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned. Just notice the context. In which they have sinned. And will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people. And I will be their God. The establishment of the government of God upon this earth. To show people the way to the city of peace. It's what we've been hearing a lot about in past sermons. The city of peace, Jerusalem, is what it means. Verse 24, let's notice. A transition in time. The establishment of the government of God upon this earth. David, my servant, shall be king over them. David's in the grave. But here he says he will be the king. And we just read that God will be the God. And the people would be his people. So there is being a way made for true worship upon this earth. And they shall have one shepherd. Let's notice. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. It's not so today. So this is a future event to establish the government of God upon this earth. And David will be the king that will oversee the statutes and see that they do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David, let's notice, shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them. And let's notice, I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Eternal, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. It's when David is the king. There's a total of 144,000. And David is part of them. And there are a lot of them named in this book that are a part of that 144,000 that will bring about and establish the government of God upon this earth. Turn to Zechariah 14. It's close to the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah 14 shows us a transition in time. And it gives us a picture. And we know that the physical city of Jerusalem is in chaos today. We know that there is a massive battle that God has waited for a long, long time. God has had a hands-off approach for 6,000 years. But that is about to change. Verse 9 of Zechariah 14, we find that God will be the king. we find that everyone will begin to know the true God. God and everyone will begin to keep the Sabbath. As living waters begin to flow, that's how it's pictured, the truth will begin to be taught. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Eternal of Hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Eternal of Hosts, there will be punishment, brethren, as we will see. Drop back up to verse 4. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And in that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. Brethren, it's the 144,000 in Jesus Christ. It's the 140,000, 144,000 are spirit beings at this time. God the Father remains in heaven, as we know through the scriptures. And this is the beginning of God's government upon this earth. And it's placed under the feet of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of how it takes place. The Eternal will be King of all the earth. Through His kingdom, the 144,000 in Jesus Christ do not understand how it will take place. God works through His Spirit. It's from God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the 144,000. And it is pictured as the feet of Jesus Christ. There will be one God, and His name one, and we understand that. We understand the order that is here. It's God the Father, always has been. Then it's Jesus Christ. Then it's the kingdom of God that will be set up upon this earth to establish the government of God upon this earth. It's the order. And as Jesus Christ stands upon the Mount of Olives with the 144,000, it is through Jesus Christ and the 144,000 that God's government will be administered, how it will be done. We see a process of God's government being set up upon this earth. We see that God's Spirit dwells in Zion through His Spirit dwelling in them. God does not cease to dwell in us. It becomes more powerful, brother. We understand that it is God that is Almighty. It is the Almighty God that brings it about. There's a series of events that will take place from this time forward. We know from the scriptures that there are 200 million that will come across and resist and fight against Jesus Christ as He is returning to this earth. It's hard to believe, but we understand as the Church of God, because God has given us understanding of these events. And He has revealed His secrets through His prophets. Two that we have at the end of an age. It's how we know. And it's how God works. And it's why you understand what you understand. It's through the order. God says He will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. And in verse 3, Zechariah 14 in verse 3, then the Eternal will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day, let's notice how it's said, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So we can see some awesome events that will take place. And in verse 9, Let's notice. The Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Eternal is one, and his name one. And no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. It will start to become the city of peace. Verse 12 tells us about an awesome event as Jesus Christ returns to this earth. There will be those that will fight. Verse 12 tells us what will be their fate. This shall be the plague with which the Eternal will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. We can see that it will be swift. God is merciful. It will be swift. We are told that the blood in the valley of Megiddo will be up to a horse's bridle. It's pretty deep. And it's a pretty big valley. Zechariah verse 16 we find. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Eternal of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The very feast that you and I are keeping, brother, it's a future prophecy. It's a future prophecy that those who live into the millennial reign of our Savior will get to see. And they will get to see the beginning of the establishment of the City of Peace. Awesome blessings to see the beginning. And it shall be whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Eternal of hosts, on them will be no rain. So we can see that God has a way, a merciful way, to deal with mankind. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Eternal strikes the nation who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It takes a lot to get man's attention, as we can see. And sadly, usually it's death that gets his attention. There were times in our past we thought instant utopia once we got to the millennium. But mankind has a process to go through. If you listen to the atonement sermons and Ron's sermons, you pick up pretty quick. There's a process that mankind has to go through. And even without Satan, human nature can be pretty ugly. Even during the millennium, complacency will be a big enemy during the millennium. We have to deal with human nature. And as human beings, God has to have our attention to bring about peace. Let's turn to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. And let's look at some events that God tells us will take place. Now the word of the Eternal came to me saying, it's going to be a couple of chapters here, so it'll be pretty long, but we need to get through this to understand. Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, Tubal, and prophesy against him, so we can see. It's a prophecy. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, splendidly clothed with bucklers, shields, and So we can say that he's gathering them together to make war. And it goes on to name them, Gomer and all his troops, and they are many people. So it's pretty massive, as we can see. They are preparing. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited, and in the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people. Let's notice. On the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate, they were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming out like a cloud, like a storm. You and all your troops and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God. On that day it will come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, let's notice, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty? It's hard to believe. To carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take away plunder. Therefore, son of man, prophesy. Say to God, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place, let's notice, out of the far north. Let's notice where he comes from. You and many people with you, and all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. So we can see that it's painting us a picture. And it says, you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations, let's notice, may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God. Brethren, we're about to see some of these events unfold. And your minds have to be prepared for what is going to take place. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? It will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God. Let's notice that my fury will show in my face. Brethren, there's a time coming when God will not have hands off anymore. And you and I have a front row seat to see these events unfold. Verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there will be a great earthquake, a great shaking, in other words, in the land of Israel. So that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Your eyes will see some awesome events if you hold fast. To do as our name says, prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. The mountain shall be thrown down, The steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and with bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him. Blood and rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstones. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Eternal. He will get their attention, brother. Ezekiel 39, we'll continue, verse 1. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north. Just notice where it says. And bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your hand, out of your left hand, and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. We see God's intervention. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the people who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beast of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Eternal. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. It's over, brother. God is intervening. The city of peace will occur. God says it, and he will bring it about. And he says, I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. It's over. Then the nation shall know that I am the Eternal, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons. It's painting us a picture of what will take place. Both the shields, the bucklers, the bows, the arrows, the javelins and the spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. It's a lot of weapons. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest, because they will make fires with weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them and pillage those who pillaged them, says the Lord God. Verse 11. It will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel. The valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. And let's notice verse 12. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. 7 months, brother. It's a pretty good while, as we say in Georgia. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men, let's notice, regularly employed. They will hire, employ men to bury them. It'll be their job. says they will set apart men employed. With the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he shall set up a marker by it till the burials have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. Verse 17. As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself and come, gather together from all sides. Let's notice. To my sacrificial meal. And let's notice again. Which I am sacrificing for you. A great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel. That you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, lambs, goats, bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And you shall eat fat till you are full, and drink blood till you are drunk. At my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you. Do we understand why it has to take place? So that the city of peace can be brought about, brother. It has to be done. It has to be done God's way. You shall be filled at my table. Just notice how it said. With horses, riders, mighty men, and all the men of war. Notice the context. Says the eternal God. I will set my glory, verse 21, among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed. Let's notice who's doing it. In my hand, which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Eternal, their God, from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. It will all be known, brother, all of it, to bring about the city of peace. And there will be some awesome sights that will be written about in your future. God had it written beforehand for you so that we will know some of the events that will have to take place before the return of Jesus Christ, at the return of Jesus Christ, and after the return of Jesus Christ. Human nature has to be dealt with. Human beings will have to learn the correct way to live. And the only way is by the establishment of God's government upon this earth to bring about the city of peace. It's the only way. The Gentiles, verse 23, the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they were unfaithful to me. It will all be made known what has taken place. And that's true. Down through time, even we, look at what we did as Laodicea. Look even beyond Laodicea. Look at what we are capable of. We are capable of unfaithfulness. All of us. Therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, let's notice, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy. Brethren, we can't stand justice. None of us can stand justice. It takes mercy from a merciful God to bring this about, to bring you and I into the city of peace. Mercy. It took a Passover. Jesus Christ became the Passover so that you and I could have this mercy. He paid an awesome price for you and I just so that we could be here. What value do we put on? Now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name. After they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me. When they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid. When I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' land. And I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Eternal, their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land, and left none of them captive anymore. Mercy, brethren, a merciful God that did not just melt all of our flesh off of all of our bones a long time ago. Mercy. Verse 29. I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. There are a lot of events to take place that you will be privileged to see at the end of this age and into a new age. That's why most of you have been called to live into a new age, into the beginning of the city of peace. And it will take 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And this is the beginning. Revelation 21 and verse 10. God had a design in mind from the beginning. God had a plan to bring about his plan for mankind and to bring man into the city of peace. God is going to offer salvation to everyone. Salvation is not just about the people of Judah. Salvation is not about the physical people of Israel. It's for the spiritual Israel of God, the church of God at this time. Eventually, in God's plan, everyone will be given opportunity to become a part of the church of God, through which they can grow and mature until they are able to enter the kingdom of God, the family of God. God's kingdom is spiritual and composed of spirit beings who have been given the gift of eternal life. The structure of God's family bears the name of Israel. Israel means God prevails. That's what it means. And we know the end of the story. We know that God prevails. God's family is one that he brings about. One that he molds and fashions. We are the clay. He is the potter. And he is the one who molds and fashions. God's design for his kingdom is that it will bear the name of Israel. It's what he calls it. But it's also divided into 12 divisions. I guess you could call it divisions. It's divided into 12. With each bearing one of the names of the tribes of Israel. God inspired John to write about this spiritual structure. The structure of God's kingdom is described in terms of a holy city, New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 and verse 10. And he, an angel, carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like that of a most precious stone, even like a jasper stone, which is clear as crystal. It had a great wall that was very high, and it had 12 gates. It's how John describes it. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names were written on each gate, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, the north, the south, and the west, there are 3 gates. John saw what was a spiritual structure in how God's kingdom would be organized. It's a picture. God chose these names, the names of the 12 apostles of Christ, to be used in this structure. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The division was to be in 12 groups, with each bearing the name of one of the tribes of Israel. And it is a spiritual composition and is not derived from the physical tribes. It's a spiritual composition, brother. It's what John is describing. And what John is describing is those who would compose of God's government, the 144,000. The time for God's government to be established is almost here. May the 27th, 2012. Revelation 19 and verse 11. John saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe, let's notice, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. It's talking about Jesus Christ and the armies in heaven and the 144,000 who had just been resurrected, clothed in fine linen. White and clean. It's how it's pictured. It's the description that is given. White and clean. Followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And this will bring about an end to man's government, and establish the government of God upon this earth. He himself, let's notice, treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is here to bring about the beginning of the city of peace. Revelation 5 and verse 10, you don't have to turn over there. I'll read this one to you. It tells us that those redeemed from among men through Jesus Christ and him having made the way tells us that they will be kings and priests, and that they will reign on the earth with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Talking about those in the first resurrection. Revelation 20 and verse 4. I saw thrones, and they, talking about the 144,000, sat on them. And judgment was committed to them. So we can see a process. We can see this city of peace beginning to come under God's government. Then I saw the souls of those who had been, some translations say beheaded, but the correct word is cut off. But the word means cut off. For their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. Let's notice. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So we see it's talking about the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Those who are a part of the 144,000. Those that John made a description of, the spiritual temple. Over such, the second death has no power. Because they are spirit beings, and they are here to rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, and to set up the government of God upon this earth, and to bring about the city of peace. Last part of verse 5. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And with this rule, there will be no other religions on this earth. And it will be a wonderful time for mankind to finally hear the truth, and nothing but the truth. It will only be the true church of God. There will be no other government, only the kingdom of God that will establish the government of God upon this earth. Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. And the heading in my Bible tells the story. The very heading. It says the temple, Yahweh's dwelling place. Says it all. Afterward he brought me to the gate. Verse 1. The gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw. Like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell on my face. And the glory of the Eternal came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Eternal filled the temple. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple, while a man stood beside me. He said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the places of the soles of my feet. If we understand Zechariah 14, we understand exactly how this is taking place. Everything is under the feet of Jesus Christ. It's awkward sometimes the way things are written. But when you understand the plan of God, when you have the Spirit of God, it becomes clear what is being said. Ezekiel 43 and verse 7. He said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. Let's notice. Where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name, nor their kings. Let's notice what's being said. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name, nor their kings, by their harlotry, or with the carcasses of the kings on their high places, when they set their threshold by my threshold, and their doorpost by my doorpost, with a wall between them and me, they defiled my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put their harlotry and the carcasses of their kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. It will not happen again, brother. The government of God is upon this earth, ruled over by the kingdom of God. And this will not be allowed anymore. It's God's time. It's the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And during this time, there will be peace. And we understand that at the end, Satan will be released for a while. But this will be a peaceful time. Verse 10, let's notice. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. In other words, know how it works. What's expected. And to give them understanding. That's what it means. We have to remember God's Spirit is being poured out upon mankind. And mankind has the ability now to understand. So it is being explained. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, ashamed, it's called repentance, brethren. That's what it's called. You are ashamed of your sins that have cut you off from God. And all have sinned and come short. All of us, and they are of no exception. But man now has the way. He can see the way to the city of peace. And it says, if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangements, its exits and its entrances. In other words, the way in, the way out. The way to do things. What's expected. And when you go away, you will know the right way to live. It's explained. The design. Mankind is not in darkness anymore. Mankind does not have Satan to deceive anymore. He's been chained. They still have their human nature to battle. And this is to be explained. What is expected? The way in, the way out. The way to the city of peace, or the way out of the city of peace. And if they are ashamed, let's notice, make known to them what's expected. Its entire design and all its ordinances. See what it's talking about? Ordinances. What's expected? What's expected to enter the city of peace? All its forms, all its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design, all of it, and all its ordinances. And let's notice. And perform them. Not lip service anymore, brother. It's the way to live. The way in or the way out. Verse 12. Let's notice. This is the law of the temple. We understand it is the spiritual temple that is here. It's the 144,000 under Jesus Christ to teach. Teach the way. The way in or the way out. The government of God upon this earth, brother. And let's notice. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. It's talking about the temple of God. The spiritual temple. And it is holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. It's how the government of God will be administered, brother. Let's turn over to Micah 4. Micah 4, and let's look at verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. It's where we're at, brethren, latter days. May the 27th, 2012. And it will be here. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. It's talking about the nations, the cities, the governments of this world, and they will become God's government. There will be one government upon this earth. That's what it's talking about. And the government of God will be established and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob, to the city of God, the city of peace. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Let's notice, for out of Zion shall the law go forth, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, the spiritual temple of God. He shall judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And let's notice what will take place. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. It's talking about a time of safety, a time of peace. It's what it pictures. A time when all wars will be done away with, and finally the city of peace can come to fruition. For the mouth of the Eternal of Hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we walk in the name of the Eternal, our God, forever and ever. Turn to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. This has been read at just about every feast site that I've ever attended. There's not many that it's not been read. And most of us know it by heart. And it pictures a wonderful time that is coming to this earth to establish the city of peace. And Isaiah 9 and verse 6 tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. It's very enlightening to see a piece of rock that's been down through the ages, stored here in Scotland, that pictures that throne. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Eternal, the Lord of Hosts, will perform this. So we can see, God told us a long, long time ago through Isaiah what would take place. And it is just about that time. We don't have long to wait for the kingdom of God to come to this earth and set up the government of God and set it upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And it will produce a beautiful world when God's government is established. It will produce peace that mankind has never experienced. God tells us in Isaiah 35 about some results that it will bring about. And there are scriptures that tell us the earth will become, once again, like the Garden of Eden all over again. And I'm going to read this in a different translation. You can follow along the best that you can. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. Even the wilderness and the desert will rejoice in those days. The desert will blossom with flowers. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the Lebanon mountains, as lovely as Mount Carmel's pastures and Sharon's meadows, which is a beautiful place. For the Eternal will display His glory there, the excellency of our God. With this news, bring cheer to all discouraged ones. Encourage those who are afraid. Tell them, be strong, fear not, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. That's what it's about. And when He comes, He will open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. It's talking about man will finally be able to see the truth. God's Spirit will be poured out upon the earth. Man will be able to see the way to the city of peace. God's way. And they will be able to hear the way to the city of peace. The lame man will leap like a deer, and those who could not speak will shout and sing. Springs will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground will become a pool with springs of water in the thirsty land where desert jackals live, and there will be reeds and rushes. So we can see the twofold blessings, spiritual and physical. And it's a beautiful picture. Either way, brethren, what will take place? It will be a beautiful time when man can understand their God. And it says a road will be there, the way to the city of peace, a road into the city of peace or out of the city of peace. And a main road, Isaiah 35 and verse 8. A main road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Holy Highway. Through time, it's been a pretty deserted road. But God is getting ready to change that situation. It said once deserted, but now this road will become heavily traveled as God pours out His Spirit upon man. No evil-hearted man may walk upon it. God will walk there with you. Even the most stupid cannot miss the way. So it's a wonderful time. No lion will lurk along its course, nor will there be any other dangers. So it pictures a time of safety, a time of peace. Only the redeemed will travel there. These, the ransomed of the Lord, will go home along that road to Zion, singing the songs of everlasting joy. For them all sorrow and all sighing will be gone forever. Only joy and gladness will be there. It's hard to comprehend. There is a beautiful time coming upon this earth, spiritually and physically. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he sat on the throne and said, Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Brethren, we can see the beginning of the city of peace. And we can see the end, the physical end. And we can see the spiritual creation of God. That's what it's about. The spiritual creation. And he says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It's a wonderful time. You have to want this way of life, brethren. You have to fight for it. God says to those who do thirst, he offers this way of life, the correct way to live. And he will give of the fountain of life freely to those that thirst. He who overcomes, something you have to do, overcome. It's our battle at this time. You have to overcome, and the ones who will, thus notice, will inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. So remember, the Church of God, PKG, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth, May the 27th, 2012, and prepare and overcome so that you may be able to enter the city of peace. New Jerusalem, the spiritual creation of God, is what it's about, where you will become a part of the spiritual creation. And God will be your God, and you will be his sons and daughters. So brethren, take it to heart and have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. And with that, for the closing prayer, we'll have Mr. William Miller.
Father in heaven, thank you very much for everything you've given us so far in this feast season, for the good weather that we're experiencing at the moment, and for the words that feed us, the spiritual food, Father. We just ask you that you can help us to really enjoy the rest of this feast period, and that in every way that we can praise your name, Father. And we ask that your blessing can be upon the food that we are about to receive. We ask this in our soon coming King and our High Priest, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.